WordPress has 42% of the top 10 million websites. The world needs over 15 million developers. And we are crying. We don't have work. We don't have what to do. So I want to maybe catch up from Alex. How are you managing to work during this quarantine or lockdown? Just tell us about your experience, whatever you feel like you want to share.
All right, thank you, Lawrence.
Yeah.
My name is Alex Agaba. I've met many of you through WordPress, this WordPress forum. Various faces, Arthur, Serena. These are presenters at the last WordCamp. The last WordCamp we had, I think it's been a while, 2 years now. We haven't met, I think, since 2019. But yeah, it's good to see that we are alive, we are safe, and we thank God. And again, most of us are developers and content creators. And so we're always really in isolation. We are behind a computer in our spaces. So I guess we are safe that way. So jumping into Lawrence's question, how it's tough times out there. People are losing jobs. People are not sure of their next income,
yeah,
or even just their next livelihood. So it's tough times in an economy where people are used to moving. We call it, there's a friend of mine who used to laugh at us computer guys. We used to walk around with computers on our back. He used to call us, forgetting the day, but we are like, yeah, you get that picture. We're always moving around with computers, and we are, I guess that kind of prepared us for this because we didn't exactly have office locations. We could work from anywhere. Many times I've always worked from a cafe at Kabira and done a lot of work. So when the government locks people like us, all you need is a dongle, a router, and you continue working. And now you don't even have to move to meet the client. Before, we'd waste a lot of time on the road. A client wants something simple as a website setup,
yeah,
but he insists on seeing you. So you're woken up, you're in jam for a whole hour, then you reach his office, you wait at the reception for another hour. He's too busy to get to see you. Yet all you'd have done is maybe set up a demo or illustrate a look and feel and share. But I think the way it was done before was wrong to me. I've had personal experiences where I've walked towards offices and I've taken a whole morning of my time just to meet them, and you don't even get the job. So, and people didn't accept. You all know that 2019 and before, no one would accept to go on a Zoom call to discuss work. I think I speak for many people. Do I? Can I hear some amen or yes in the room? Do I speak for many people before 2019?
Amen, amen, amen. Big one.
Yeah, but how about today? Today, can you send someone a Google Meet and they log in and see your work? Can you?
Yeah, you can.
Pretty much.
Actually, someone can send you mobile money without having ever met you to do work.
Exactly. Yeah, now actually Lawrence has finished it for me. You can go through the whole project life cycle, the whole pitching, proposal, quotation, work, billing, invoicing, and receiving payment without ever meeting that person. Locally here, we're not talking about people who are outside the country, we're talking about people who are even in the same neighborhood. You can be in Kamocha and you do work for someone in Kamocha and you never get to meet them. So that's what we're calling the new normal, I think. Yeah, so that's, to me, it's something I've always desired because I've shared my experience where I've worked towards offices and you waste a lot of time. For some of us who have been had full-time jobs, but you skip your job because you have to meet a client. A client has insisted you meet them in the morning. So you've skipped your job or you've gone to your work late and your boss is not happy. So it was very bad before COVID. I won't believe that. It wasn't, there were opportunities missed that we are seeing today when the world decides to go online, when people start working from home, there are opportunities to be discovered. Yes, per sad, people are losing jobs, but or people are not sure what to do. But I think that's why we have these spaces here. These spaces are knowledge centers, and we are here to just share, and I believe there'll be more for sharing after me, our experiences in this time, the pandemic time and the lockdown. So Lawrence, I don't know if I've touched your question or...
I want to follow that up. Of course, we're going to dive into the work, but how about your social life? How have you found, were you ready for the loneliness of just staying in your house and working from there? Tell us more about that. How have you been sort of keeping sane within the confined room that you have?
Yeah, that's a good question, Lauren. Yeah, how do you keep sane? Or how do you overcome being, if I use those lonely? Yeah.
Yeah, lonely.
My personal experience is that incidentally I've gotten more friends during the lockdown situation. I happen to belong to several clubs that are outside development, like social clubs. One of them is Toastmasters International. Toastmasters, we used to meet locally. There are several clubs in Kampala, like about 7 clubs. And my club used to meet at Sheraton once a month, twice a month. But now lockdown, we pushed our meeting online. So we continued meeting online, but guess what? Every other club in the world put their meetings on Zoom. And that means that I can attend a Toastmasters meeting in Nairobi, in South Africa. I even joined a club in Las Vegas. So that's just paint a picture of how friendly the world has become. People are opening doors to you outside the country. My phone book is full of numbers and contacts of Nairobi, because still Toastmasters, when you attend a meeting, you take up roles, and it's a space where you evaluate people when they speak and you give them tips and sessions, and you get invited to speak also. So the lockdown is not that lonely as people might think it is. It might look lonely in terms of you're isolated, but if you open your mind up, and of course, we're in Uganda, really. We're not totally locked down, especially in our neighborhoods. I still have to move out and buy food.
Yes.
I'm a person who does morning runs every morning when I can. Mm-hmm. If I have no deadlines or work delays, mm-hmm. I'm a 5 a.m. person. I wake up at 5 a.m., kind of do some studying. When the sun comes up, I go out and run. And we are many people running in Mutungo. Mutungo Ring Road, if you are aware about that geography, it's a hill of runners, and we still connect. So to answer your question, Lawrence, it might not be that lonely as it's painted out to be.
Yeah, so what do you do like during your breaks? Because I know you wake up, you work and do a million things, but in your breaks, what are some of those things that you do to keep up your creativity? And also to generally just keep you your mind active.
Yeah, that's another good question. How do I use my breaks? Yeah. You know, you can't work nonstop the whole day. Your brain won't allow. So I have this. It's a technique. It's a tool. Some of you have probably heard about it. It's a Pomodoro technique.
Yeah,
and it has saved me a lot. Especially now that you have this in this economy where you have like so much on your desk and it has to get done, and yet the distractions, you know, the distractions. There's WhatsApp, there's Twitter, there's Euro 2020. Mm-hmm. There's a game and you have a deadline tomorrow. There's so much. People will come to visit you. So with Pomodoro technique, you zone out for 25 minutes and then you have a 5 minute break. Why you cannot check your mails, respond, then you zone out again into work for 25 minutes. So if you do those zones 4 times, you can have longer breaks after. That has kept me sane and has allowed me to do tasks. And in this economy, why is gig economy? You're paid for the work you do. You're paid per hour, and that hour has to have tasks behind it. So if you don't have such discipline, you won't have what to show, or you can't be that grand because you have nothing to show. So unlike what before lockdown, I had a full-time job and would fall sick half a month and you still get a paycheck. But I don't think it's the same now if you're working with these gigs or what to call them, like works.
Yeah. Okay, so I've heard you mention different tooling. You've talked about discipline. Just share with us what you're currently doing. I know you've been talking about tasks and gigs. Just basically share with us what you're doing, how you got there. Tell us more about that work that you're doing. Yeah, just paint a picture, because someone out there might be seated and they don't have a clue about what you're talking about.
Sure, yeah. What my current biggest task, the task I wake up to do almost the whole day is I work for a developer company called MRKPW. So it's a company that does a lot of WordPress work. It's entirely WordPress work, where the developer team that develops backend, then there's a team that works on the content, there's a team that reviews the content. So you all know how WordPress works. Yeah, WordPress is heavily developed and also heavily content based. So I work with it's a team that is very forward thinking. It's every morning you wake up and you know your tasks. It's a very organized environment of work. Like, you know your task, you click on a task, then it's timed, you do it, you submit it for review. And there's always work. Like, you never wake up in the morning and there's no work. So how did I get there? I must attribute it to the connections in WordCamp. These connections you make here, members, don't take them for granted, because I think it must have been Lawrence who forwarded my name to that company, and I got a call, and they looked at my feed, they checked out my LinkedIn, and that's something I want to advise members, that update your profile online, update your LinkedIn, because when I walked into the room for the interview, those guys knew me. I didn't have to talk about myself. We spent most of our time talking about the work and how exciting it is, who it's going to be. And it was work that is within the realm of WordPress, work you can do, things like CRMs, things like SEO, things like just creating pages, uploading content. The work is not brain, it's not rocket science. And you know, work grows, and it grows as far as you also expand your knowledge. So in this era of work, you need to be open to learning new things and embrace tasks. So I don't know if I answered your question, Lawrence. How I got in is...
Yeah, if you not answered me, I'll be able to pick up and follow up with a question. But sure. You mentioned that it wasn't hard for you to blend in. How did that team get you gelled into the system, get you to learn to do your tasks? How did you blend into the whole business? Like, in terms of culture, in terms of the way things are done, in terms of tools, could you share about that?
First of all, the company is based in Australia, so it comes with some experience in terms of work. Like, you enter there and there's an onboarding system where there are people who are there before you. There's a line manager who takes you through the tools of work. For example, there's a tool that when you enter, you log in, and people know that you're available. So once you're available, the task is very, the tool is very collaborative. We you can make calls, you can chat with someone. If you want to inquire, you can inquire through chat or call or screen share. So it was easy for me to get in, number one, because it's a, the company is warm, it's welcoming, and people are looking out for your best interest as well as the company's best interest. There is not much of, it's really about work, and the environment is uplifting in a way that you don't find a lot of bickering on small things. It's people who are mature, people who are well-educated, and they know their thing. So it's people who are working towards the same goal of achieving the best work for clients, because out of the work is we do for clients. And it was easy for me to gel in because people are willing to support you and they were not looking at your weaknesses. They were looking out for your strength. What do you have to talk about as a team? And the work is very described, well described, the tasks are well described. And if you're not aware or not sure about the task, you can ask through a chat, through a call, through a screen share. So those just make onboarding very easy.
Mm. Okay. Did you get any cultural shock?
Not really. Apart from maybe that my onboarding was really a bit small, and that time was still going to office physically, and the location is central. The building is. It's a nice building, and if you're in a North Coast view, there's coffee, there is a, it's a proper workspace.
Pizza.
The one, yeah, there's good stuff. There's a nice restaurant. Oh, and I must say that the reward is also good. If you're being paid, if you know how much you're making per hour, per day, and it comes in time, so your mind rests. And you focus on the work, yeah.
Yeah. If you don't mind, Alex, would you put a figure to that? Maybe a range. You don't have to say this is a range. Yeah. The kind of work you would be doing and so on. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if it really varies, but if someone is willing to pay you, say $50 a day for uploading, say content on a WordPress website. Not many employers in Uganda are going to give you that amount of money. So
that's about, in context, that's about 200,000 per day.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You leave home and you know you've bought 200K for spending hours on a computer doing WordPress work, something we love here every day. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, who wouldn't want that? How much is that in 10 days? How much is that in a month?
All right, I have some questions that are coming in from the panel. Like, how have you managed to dodge umeme when the power is out? How did you dodge umeme?
Oh, that's a good question. I've had many people complain about electricity.
Yeah.
Number one, I am privileged. I stay in Mutungo and I don't have that problem much. But if I had that problem, I'd probably invest in a good laptop that can give you like 3 hours of power of backup.
Mm-hmm.
And then, power's gone off sometimes when I'm on a call here. I can't say it never goes off, but it's rare. Like there's a time I was on a call and power went off.
Yeah.
Even if it was like for 2 minutes, I got distracted. I mean, it was a call and I was getting instructions. Then I promised myself to buy a UPS because my laptop was on, but my router got off. I have a router in my work at home. It's another lifesaver. I have Rock Telecom internet. Why people are saying that Aman bundles, Airtel, MTN the past few weeks, I can't relate. My network is always on. And I believe I'm here right now on this call because Rock Telecom is decent. It's not the best, and I don't work for Rock Telecom. I wouldn't market for it, but I was just privileged and lucky to jump on that wave of having that internet at home. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So how you're talking about Australia a million times you've said that. And how do you manage to work with the different time zones? I mean, you're in UT3 or GMT3. Australia is about not only seven hours ahead, but something like that. How do you manage to stay up at night to work?
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good question. The quickest way to manage time zones, number one, is to, that's why the work, you want to be able to also work non-supervised, because people are going to sleep while you're waking up. And so with Australia, it's about 7 hours ahead of us. So when we're getting into office at 8, those guys, the sun is going down. But luckily they are still online. So you can engage with them for those brief hours you can. And once you have aligned, when they go to sleep, it's upon you to work unsupervised and deliver the tasks, because they're going to wake up and look at your work while you're going to sleep. So it's personally, I think I challenge myself to get clear instructions and understand what the work is and work it and submit it for review, hoping that there are no errors. So you have to have high attention to detail, and our boss always mentions that. I think that was also my challenge, having that attention to detail, so that when you get instructions, you also execute them that most detail, so that you don't get many reviews. If your work is always reviewed and sent back, you need to improve on that. Otherwise, it's a challenge when your work is always sent back because of something simple you could have missed out, or you didn't inquire, or you didn't ask. So I think ask as many questions as you can in the brief time you have before people in different time zones log off, and you'll be safe.
Yeah. All right. Okay. That's good to hear. And how does that affect you mentally? Being rejected. Okay. It feels like you are the one being rejected, but it's maybe something you didn't get right in the work. How do you manage to balance those two? Not keep it personal, but allowing yourself to grow also in that job or work that you're doing.
Yeah. First of all, it's just understanding that you're not a perfect human being. You're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to take criticism. The work we do, you're never perfect, and you're only human. And luckily, people who are supervising you or giving instructions have done that work before you, and they know.
Yeah.
So it helps if the person who's supervising you is giving it to you, like, hey, this is an error, it's wrong. But you also kind of have to understand that he's coming from a point of wanting to correct you. And the reason he's telling it to you is because he actually cares. He wants you to be better. So I know developers and creatives don't like being corrected so much. We seem to think that we know our thing. We are clever people. But personally, I come from a point of someone has taken time to correct my work and showed me my errors. That person cares, and that person wants me to become better. That's how I approach it.
Okay. So I also have another question from here, and it's, how do you balance your website-like work with other fields in IT? Did you specialize in IT alone? Did you have a particular skill set that was looked for, or how do you balance? How do you keep growing in the field that you're in?
My personal story is that I did a BSc IT program at university, and I got into an IT department, and it wasn't very focused on any skill set, but along the way, your passion drives you, or your passion finds you. So I figured that I'm very good at aspects of marketing, and that's how I lean towards websites, because companies use websites for branding and marketing.
Yeah,
that's how I leaned there. And the officers in charge of marketing and communications became my friends, because we were working together. And that's how I grew into WordPress. Before WordPress, I think we're using Drupal, and then WordPress came and changed the game, and then I made WordCamp. And so you grow into your passion. You yourself, you know that when I'm doing this work, I'm happy. It's what I want to do. There's even work that pays you, but you push it aside and figure out what you like to do. And so I find myself doing a lot of front-end WordPress because I've also taught myself Photoshop, Illustrator. I'm into branding, circles. So that stuff excites me so much. Mm-hmm. So and WordPress allows you to grow both back end and front end, and you always know what excites you. You only can tell. No one can tell it to you.
Yeah. Are there any fields that you would advise someone to grow in? Like right now, if someone wants to probably have potential, look at doing what you're doing or something similar, which fields would you advise them? Which fields do you think are marketable right now?
Right now. And especially if I can just keep it in the scope of WordPress.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now, many clients I'm talking to are excited by simple things like organic search traffic, numbers.
Yeah.
That stuff excites clients. And it's stuff if you get right, you can... What can I say? You can dictate how much you're going to earn because it's a numbers game these days with companies and clients. They just want to know, you will get, if I do this for you, you will get an average of 1,000 organic page views per month, per week. You don't even have to pay for them. You don't have to buy them. So the area of SEO is something that I'm finding exciting. If I can pick out just one area for me, it's something exciting, and it's everything WordPress, like optimizing your website for content, for even the technical aspect of it. How fast is your page loading? What are the meta tags on your page? What content is on your page? That stuff is a bit exciting for me. And there are tools now that help you to learn SEO at my workplace where we work. We're using SEMrush, and the bit about my workplace is we pay for our tools. We don't use trial tools. So you have a whole paid SEMrush to dig in and explore, and you can even certify.
Yeah. Okay, so you're now telling us we need to buy software, we need to do A, B, C, D. Someone and Serena is laughing at you. Could you maybe share some of these tools so that someone can make note of them? Maybe what do they do so that if someone is interested, they can be able to purchase them and then use them?
Yeah. Before I joined MRKP, I was using free tools like UberSuggest, and it's not even that free. You only use a few. For SEO, I was using UberSuggest, and most people here have used UberSuggest. It's common with content creators and people in SEO. It's a wonderful tool, but you can only make a few searches in a day. Like if you do three searches, they tell you upgrade.
Yeah.
So those are wonderful. It's a wonderful tool, but at MRKP, I'm using SEMrush, and it's an amazing tool. And I know we have a license for it, but it's an amazing tool. So with SEO, I think most tools are still very paid for. I haven't come across serious free tools, but in the space of WordPress, we know that there's open source, so you can still pull it off on free tools.
Mm.
But if you're lucky to get some paid tools, it's always better.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to pick some questions from the chat. What would you say to someone who is in both IT fields and say they have a job as a network administrator, and yet they want to work with our websites? What would you tell them? They have multiple skills, but their passion is websites.
Although I must warn you that the time on the clock on this meeting is saying 1 minute.
No, it's okay. I've cleared that bill, sir. You've just told me about buying software, so we've cleared that bill.
yeah, it always serves you.
Yeah.
So I hope I didn't miss your question when you said that people who are multi-skilled, yeah, maybe you're a network administrator.
Yeah, but their interest is websites. What would you advise them to do?
I really advise you to schedule some time in a day and put aside some time and get into website development. And there's always something for someone, and there's always an entry point for someone. I'll give you a personal story. At my former workplace, I was working for the Virtual University of Uganda, and I was their website guy, but there are admins for faculties who are responsible for making sure course content is on the website.
Yeah.
And they were trying to give me that responsibility for them, and it was content heavy, so I hacked it, and I told them, I can teach you WordPress, and you do this stuff yourself, so that even when I'm away, you have this skill set. These are guys who are from not even IT background. There are guys, you know, admins are usually from interesting art backgrounds. So these guys were able to learn WordPress. I taught them simple HTML and CSS, which wasn't even necessary for WordPress, but I was just exciting them about the tech world. And there are guys, ever since lockdown, when universities downsized, those guys call me and thank me because they found themselves in circles of website development and website administration. And they're like, thank you, Alex, for teaching us WordPress while we were still at the virtual. So to answer your question is that you can dedicate time and grow. And there's always an entry point for anyone in WordPress or web development.
Yeah. Okay. So I see Roger's shared a link for people who want to get some WordPress jobs. But someone was asking, before you got hired for this particular job, how did you, or where can someone get web gigs? Like right now, someone is stranded, they're home. How do they get some of those gigs besides having a LinkedIn account?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, of course, if you have a LinkedIn account that's proper, people will probably even get into your inbox. You look up an email, people are trying to hire you. But outside those work requests, maybe you've been unlucky and no one is contacting you.
Yeah.
There are sites online that are offering works, especially if you have a skill or a passion, or if you're growing into an area like design, if you're creative. There's a site called Fiverr. I've actually gone to Fiverr and created an account and I put my skill sets. And when you go to Fiverr and you create an account and tell the world what you offer and how much, people will get to you and ask you to do some work. And I think there are very many more. It's only Fiverr that I tried out because it was trending sometime last year. And I was thinking, wow, I am home all day. I could get some work. I can't say I got to do the work on Fiverr much because also during last year, there was a lot of work coming in through referrals. So I chose to focus on the referral work that was local. But it's something I'd want to go back to because it's exciting to get paid in dollars, quoting your work and say, man, I can do a logo for you at $10. It's an exciting currency to trade in.
So when you are doing the local work, how did you manage to make like write winning proposals? How did you write stuff that made people want to give you the job? I know you made mention that sometimes you just talk about normal things, get people excited. Could you be a little bit specific about how you got your proposals to be ticked and signed off?
Yeah. First of all, I'll be honest with you, for every 10 proposals you send, you won't get 10 acceptances. You're going to get some rejections, but it's a learning process. We've all sent out proposals, and if you look at proposals you sent maybe 5 years ago, you'll laugh at yourself. So the more you do this, the more you know your client. There's something called KYC, know your client. Know the expectations. Some clients want a lot of detail. As a client, I know every time I'm presenting a report, if I don't detail it, I will have to repeat it. Yet there are some clients you can just unleash, you can just download a Google Analytics, you know, something called Google Analytics in measuring traffic for the website and its numbers and graphs. Some clients can take that. So to be specific on your question,
yeah,
it's communication skills, and also we're always communicating and marketing, and even proposals shouldn't be very dull. You can choose to even hire a graphic designer to grow the mind of the client with, you know, epic work, promise, but don't overpromise, because also it's a challenge in overpromising, but you know what you can deliver, but don't assume that the client is going to know that line item number one is this. So it's between knowing your client and being a little bit detailed and communicating. You should read your proposal 5 times before you send it and ask yourself, if this proposal was coming to me and I didn't know what this work was, would I understand it? So I think the key takeaway is that it has to communicate. And the issues like pricing also that come into play.
Yeah.
So again, if you know your client, you price well, you won't outprice his budget, and you also won't underprice your time.
Okay, so Alex, I'm going to divert a bit from WordPress, but I know there's a way they can work together. You've talked about SEO, you've talked about 100 other things, but how, number one, I'm going to ask 2 questions. How does digital marketing, I don't know what that animal is, maybe you could explain what digital marketing is, and how do they tie together with WordPress? How does someone make it through that field if digital marketing is something you understand? I know the Arthur also has something about this. He's big on that. Arthur, Serena, digital marketing is something. So maybe that would chip in. But let's hear from you first.
Yeah. Well, what's marketing? Yeah. In the beginning, we had a lot of people fronting themselves at digital marketing because here I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I can post a post on your account, I'm a digital marketer. And I think I was also in that bracket, but along my work pathway, my previous employer actually gave me digital marketing as part of my tasks. And I kind of struggled the reporting on that digital marketing, because people who are serious, who are keen on their budgets, give you money, but they expect outcomes. What's your focus with digital marketing? Are you creating a brand awareness? Are you marketing to convert? Are you marketing to sell? Like if you're on your mobile phone and you see Jumia ads, those ads, are they creating a brand awareness for Jumia, or are they product-based ads and you're supposed to eventually buy the product? So digital marketing is, in a nutshell, is putting a product or a service in front of people's social media, wherever they are. But it's a skill set. I want to believe that not everyone can just wake up and say, I'm a digital marketer, because you're on Twitter, you're tweeting, you're commenting on people's posts. That won't make you a digital marketer, because a lot goes in the back end. There are things like content calendars, how you have a content calendar where you schedule posts. A client wants to know that. Sometimes never know, but they trust you to have it together, that you know what is behind digital marketing spectrum. And if I can just highlight what goes behind digital marketing, is that you have to have a content calendar, number one. And what goes in the calendar is, it's also has to be thought through. If you're posting sales information on Monday, on Tuesday, you have to turn it down to maybe informational content, or you must not, it's Friday, you cannot be selling buy my item. You can maybe also be entertaining. So there's an art to digital marketing that most people might not know. And it's like you say, it's an animal you don't understand, and I believe you. It's not something that you can just wake up and wear and say, I'm a digital marketer because I have a Twitter account. That one I'll reiterate.
Yeah.
And the gurus in the house can also maybe add, if I haven't done it justice,
I'm going to jump to Serena. This is a field she's worked in for a couple of months and years. So maybe, Serena, how do you think WordPress and digital marketing work together? And I'm going to be specific. How do I position myself to become a digital marketer?
Hi, Loris. Thanks for the opportunity. Sorry, I do not have very good internet where I am.
We can hear
so
you.
So I'm not sure if you guys will hear me very well. Okay. The question is, what is digital marketing? And how do you join it with WordPress? To me, and marketing. Yes, Lawrence, do you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So to me, digital marketing is anything marketing that is done online. And I would consider two things. One, we look at Google, the website, and social media. I know very many people think that when we talk about digital marketing, we are talking about the social media, but we are going to look at all the web, all the online presence. And with that, I would consider things like content. What kind of content are you putting online for people to be able to see you? What Alex mentioned about content plans, there is more to giving people content. There is more work that happens behind before you give people content. And that is the planning of the content creating. So how do we join WordPress and digital market? When we look about at the web, basically for WordPress, we're going to look at things like search engine optimization. I remember Alex mentioned something that if you would like to invest time in SEO. So SEO would be something good to do with WordPress. And when you look at the e-commerce platforms, I'm sure, working with Arthur and getting to know how so many e-commerce platforms are built and owning an e-commerce shop, I can boldly say that you can join the two things, digital marketing with creating the content from the visuals that you're going to put online, to planning what kind of content you're going to put out, whether it is in videos, whether it is in graphics design, and all these things are going to appear on your website. And at the end of it all, they have to turn the visitor into a buyer. From creating a perfect landing page or a very good looking landing page with content that is going to attract someone to turn into a customer for you. So with digital marketing, it is so many things, which I have mentioned. Maybe next time, Lawrence, we shall discuss this in detail.
Yeah. I think that's something that we'd have a whole conversation about. All right, so we have about 5 minutes left to the meeting. I know everyone wants to keep on going, but we can't for time. I've been recording this and we shall upload it on our website, which is wcuganda.org. I'll also put a transcript of sort so that people can also pick up their comments. But Alex, in 2 minutes, what's the one thing you've learned on your job? After you talk about that, I'm also going to share about how you can make money online outside the job and gig economy of sort. Yeah. So shoot.
Yeah. My job is, I'm loving it because it's not been so much time I've been there, but I feel like there's an excellency required at my job that is pushing me beyond my comfort zones of when you get work, you can say, this one I'll do it tomorrow or next week. I'm still busy doing this, but my work is teaching me to time my tasks, to know how long I take on a task, and it's challenging me to pay attention to detail, to balance between working faster, smarter, and working efficiently. So it's a space that is opening my mind to areas of efficient work. Yet, if you do unplanning, like I'm learning to plan now, in a sense that I first ask the questions, I first understand the work, and I time the task. It's something I wasn't thinking before. Someone asked me for maybe a poster, and I'll be like, okay, I'll do it. I don't know how long it takes to do it. Or when I'm dealing, I don't consider time. So my biggest takeaway from my new workplace is that we are all selling time. And it's something I hadn't seen before. I knew that I'm selling a website project. I always knew maybe I'm selling work. You know, how much is this website? But I didn't know that this time tagged to that project. That's something I'm learning at my new workplace, and it's, I think, interesting for me.
Yeah. All right. So, Alex, thank you. We are all selling time. And the sooner we learn that, the easier it will make it for us to learn how to price items. We'll learn how to go for the right jobs. We'll learn how to say no to particular jobs customers who are sometimes very painful. I think that's a brilliant takeaway from your new place. Just to top up with our topic of how do you make money in a pandemic, personally, I have been making YouTube videos about developing in WordPress, and some of those I've been sharing with the community, and I've been getting people through email who say, hey, can you develop for me? I saw what you did here. I'm not a developer. Can you help me do ABCD? And that's one way you can make money. The biggest thing, like all the other people have said, is that content is the new way of marketing yourself. If there is something that you can do, do it. Do it, exhibit it so that people can see it and they know you can do it. You're selling content. Whether you're a designer, design stuff, throw them on your Facebook, maybe once a week or something like that. Make something that looks super good. That will allow people to know, this person is serious about their business. If it's a photography, but content is king. Right now, if you're a blogger, if you're a vlogger, if you're a designer, whatever it is, the right way for you to market yourself is by creating content. The world has changed. People are on their mobiles more now, so they will see you better than waiting to hear from a friend who is making a recommendation or whatever. If you make the content, the jobs will come in. I work with Alex just for as a side gig. As a side note, I work with Alex, so I know he's been telling the truth about most of the things. And yeah, so I do the YouTube after my work hours or like on the weekends. Like I release videos, but during the week I am busy pushing code through different spaces. So we'll chat more about the different things. If there's a topic you want us to have a conversation on, please let us know in the WordPress group. You can send us an email. Let's find a way of having conversations and growing each other. Remember, the world needs 15 million developers. In the next 10 years, it's going to grow because the population is also increasing. So you can put yourself in the WordPress space. I've told you, WordPress has been growing in the past 5 years. WordPress has grown from the 20s to 40% of the internet. There is going to be a job for you at any time with WordPress. So keep pushing your WordPress knowledge, whether you know how to just enter content, add images, make sure you're the best at that. And I can comfortably tell you that at the company where we are right now, they are looking for amazing developers. And I'll be honest with you, the little amount of money, Alex said there's a range of about $50. Can you imagine making $50 every single day you work? That's $250 in a 5-day week. You can choose to sell only do 3 weeks, 3 days in a week. So remember, we are selling time. We are selling time. So that's how you'll make money in this pandemic. If you really are good at your stuff, please reach out to me via my DM, because I want to be able to recommend people who have work. So you send me your portfolio, send me what you're doing. Let me see, then I can be able to make a recommendation, because we need at least 5 developers. We need about 5 other people who can do content. So please, please, please don't reach out to me if you're not sure. It's not a learning area for the job, but you can reach out to me if you want the job and you're sure of what you do and you're ready to be consistent, because the work culture, like Alex has said, we sell time. So this is, I'll just end here with the meeting. We've done a good 1.5 hours. So let's enjoy ourselves and cheers. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Lauren.
Bye.
Thank you, Lauren.